Good morning, Indian Valley. I'm glad you're here worshiping today, and those at home as well watching the live stream. So I'm excited about today because we're going to observe communion. It's been a while. We should have had this Good Friday, and remember, it was canceled. I mean, we didn't even have service. So I think June would have been our next communion. So here we are, July. We're finally getting to it. And you have the elements already? All right. So obviously, when we celebrate communion, we're always getting back to the gospel. We're always, in one way or another, we're getting back to the gospel. I'm going to read a bunch of passages to you, a bunch of Bible passages. Psalm 32 goes like this. This is verse 1 and 2, Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Isn't that a great verse? That's exciting. Psalm 85, 2 and 3 goes like this. You forgave the iniquity of your people. The Lord, that's what he does. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin, Selah. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away your burning anger because God covered the sin, because God covered the sin. Psalm 103, verse 12, you know it. It's a very familiar verse. It goes like this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Psalm 130, 3 and 4, it goes like this. I think I preached a communion sermon on this very verse. But hear the verse again. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, if the Lord kept a record of your wrong, Christian, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, oh, Lord, who could stand before you? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. You might be feared. How about this one? Isaiah 1:18 goes like this. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. And of course, in the New Testament, of course, all of this forgiveness, all of it is ultimately all bound up in the sacrifice, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of it, all of the sacrifices are pointers to the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Matthew 1:21 goes, Matthew 1:21, you've quoted this several times in the book of Matthew, right at the beginning, it goes like this. Speaking of Mary, it says, Mary, the mother of Jesus, will bear a son, and you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus, which means like God saves, Savior. That's the idea there, and it's a very fitting name, for it goes like this, for he will save his people from their sins. Indian Valley, one of the great truths, one of the great benefits, one of the great blessings of God that many of you have heard since you were little tykes growing up, one of the great gospel blessings we have is that when we repent, right, turn from our sins and trust in Christ, God forgives you. God forgives you. God forgives you through the sacrifice, through the satisfaction made by Jesus on the cross for you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Romans 5:8 goes like this: "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," I love it, "when we were removed, when we were out of the way, when we were dead," as Ephesians would say, "dead in trespasses and sins," when we were against God, and all this, "while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for us. Oh, church, one of the great, great, greatest blessings, one of the great truths of God in the gospel is that he forgives our sins. Through the death and resurrection, the work, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is all bound up in him. Years ago, I heard a story. I don't know if this is true or not. Don't get bogged down in the details, right? I love the punchline of this story. I just love it. I lost track of even where I got it from. Okay, but years ago, I heard this story, a testimony of a priest in the Philippines who carried a burden of a secret sin that he had committed years and years before. And he had repented of it. He sought to make it right. He confessed it to God again and again and again. But he had no sense of pardon. He had no sense of the forgiveness of God in Christ. Now, in his church, he also had a woman, a regular attender, a member of the church there, who claimed that she would occasionally have visions of the Lord. Visions of the Lord. And apparently, the Lord would speak to the woman in the vision, and she would speak to the Lord in this vision. The priest, however, was skeptical of all this, and in order to test the woman, he said to her, "The next time you speak to Jesus, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed in seminary. I want you to ask Jesus that the next time he speaks to you." The woman agreed to do this. And a few days later, the priest saw the woman and asked her, "Did Jesus visit you in your dream?" "Yes," the woman replied. "And did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary?" "Yes," the woman replied. "And what did Jesus say?" the priest said. And the woman said this. She said, "Jesus said, I don't remember." Oh, think of it. It's beautiful. I love the punchline. "Jesus said, I don't remember." Remember Psalm 103 that we looked at? "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west." Every now and then, even believers, my goodness, believers in the Lord Jesus, you meet people every now and then. Maybe you are one of these people this morning who thinks, you know, you're too sinful to be forgiven. Ever think like that? Like you just did something big and it just weighs you down. You're guilty, you're burdened, and you feel like, oh my goodness, you carry it for years and you feel like you're just too sinful for the Lord to forgive you. But think of it, is like your sin is beyond God's power. Do you really think that is realistic? Oh, church, put this in perspective. Consider some biblical examples. Here's 8 of them. You can come up with more. This is just a short list. There's loads of examples like this in the Bible. But think about this. Put this in perspective. For example, let me ask you, is your sin beyond the drunken nakedness of Noah? Is your sin beyond the adultery of King David? Is it beyond the apostasy of King Solomon, or the lying of Abraham, or the idolatry, murder, and witchcraft of Manasseh in the Old Testament? Is it beyond the anger of Jonah? Is it beyond the Apostle Paul's persecution of the church? Is it beyond the Apostle Peter's, not once, not twice, but three stinking times, his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even though he had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, he had firsthand, personally, witnessed the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was forewarned. He was warned ahead of time that he would deny the Lord Jesus. He swore up and down that would never happen, and yet he did it anyway. Friend, is your sin beyond any of these people? Is it beyond theirs? Not likely. Not likely. And let me tell you, every single one of these people were forgiven in the Lord. Think of it. Every single one of these people, even that evil, wicked Manasseh in the Old Testament, all of them were forgiven in the Lord. All of them. All of them. And this doesn't make excuse for sin. And I hope you realize that. It's not like, hey, we get so much forgiveness, we can just basically live however we want, we're still going to make it. That's evidence that you really don't know the Lord and you don't get forgiveness anyway. Listen, this is not an excuse to sin, but it is a cause to be thankful. The gospel is great cause to be thankful before the Lord. Great cause. So listen, have you come to Jesus for pardon? Have you come to Jesus for pardon? Most of you have, probably many, many of you have. Many of you have realized with the Holy Scriptures that you were not righteous people. Apart from Christ, by the way, you still aren't righteous. You still aren't. Apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, you were not righteous people. I was not righteous, but unrighteous, says Scripture in Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. You probably have memorized. It goes like this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? Everybody, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we missed the mark before the living God. We have fallen into sin. We have failed, and as a result, we are condemned before the living God. But those who trust in Christ, those who trust in God's sacrifice, those who trust in Christ, who was delivered up for our transgressions, as Scripture says, and was raised up for our justification, Jesus forgives us in Him. And we gain the righteousness of Christ, O church. We gain the righteousness of Christ. I talked about this recently. It's not your righteousness that saves you. It is Christ's righteousness imputed to your account, put on your account. I like what John Bunyan said years ago. He put it so well about this righteousness tacked onto your account. He says this. Listen to this. I love it. He says, I take some comfort in the fact that when I come to the gate of the city, he's talking about the celestial city, the kingdom of heaven. When I die, when I come to the gate of the city, I take some comfort in the fact that when I come to the gate of the city, the Lord of that place will surely recognize me, since it is His coat on my back, a coat that He gave me the day that He stripped me of my rags. End quote. And Bunyan is talking about the rags removed of him, just like you got the rags removed. He's talking about the rags of sin. Jesus removed the rags of sin from us and put on His coat of righteousness upon His people. And that's worth an amen. Amen. That's what God does for us. That's what He does for us. That's what He does. And we gain the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And we also gain forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness forgiveness. Don Carson, in his excellent little book called Memoirs of an Ordinary Pastor, the book is actually a tribute to his dad, Tom Carson, who ministered for years. And unlike his son, Don Carson, D.A. Carson, this guy was a poor, ordinary, unfamous, struggling pastor, church planter in Quebec. That's where he was. And this is the old days, by the way, where most Protestant pastors in Quebec, like in the 50s, 60s, did 2 years in prison for their faith. Isn't that weird? In Canada. His dad did some time, was in trouble with the law and all this stuff, just for the gospel, just for preaching the gospel and having the church and so forth. But listen, on the last page of the book, my favorite page of the whole book, it's just great. And the last page, Carson says this. Listen to this. He said, when dad died, there were no crowds outside the hospital. No editorial comments in the papers, no announcements on the television, no mention in Parliament, no attention paid by the nation. In his hospital room, there was no one by his bedside. Died totally alone. Carson had been going back. He was a professor in Chicago, flying to Canada, going back and forth, back and forth. They thought his dad would live a little longer. No one by his bedside. There was only the quiet hiss of oxygen, vainly venting because dad had stopped breathing and would never need it again. But on the other side, all the trumpets sounded. Dad won entrance to the only throne room that matters. Not because he was a good man or a great man, but because he was a forgiven man. Forgiven. Then he says this. Last few lines of the book, he says, and he heard the voice of him whom he longed to hear saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Again, church, not because he was a good man, such a good man or a great man, but because he was a forgiven man. Listen, are you forgiven in the Lord Jesus? Oh, church, are you forgiven in the Lord Jesus? Martin Luther said back in the 1600s, he said this, quote, he said, either sin is lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. And if it rests on Christ, you are free. Free. Free from the power and penalty of sin. Free from the second death and hell. Free from eternal judgment through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. Oh, are you forgiven in Christ? Are you forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, be thankful and in joy. Today, even today, go forth and joy and serve this Lord. And serve this Lord. Can somebody just give me a little smile? Right? I mean, I think this is pretty exciting, right? This is what you get in Christ. This is what you get in Christ. And oh, church, as we partake this morning, as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, oh, let us remember what we have. What's been given to us in this Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, applied by the Spirit. Ah, think on it. Think on it. And then let's go forth and remember Him and live in light of Him. And by the way, as He gives for you, so in this hard time, give for others too. He sacrificed, church. Follow him. Follow him.